Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You ready for this?
Oh, I'm very ready.
I'm so excited. Okay, ready?
You ready?
Three, two, one.
Now, here's a look at what's sunny across Central Florida on 105.9 Sunny FM. Here's your host, Michael Rafferty.
Well, the presidential election is less than 8 weeks away. Are you going to vote? Do you know who you're voting for? Does it really matter anyway? And just what in the heck is the Electoral College? Well, joining us by phone to answer all of those questions and more is Professor Don Davison. Professor Davison is a professor of political science at Rollins College. Professor Davison, thanks for being on Sunny Across Central Florida.
I'm happy to be here.
All right, let's talk about this year. I mean, this has been one crazy election year, and we're not even done with it. What is your take so far on how this year is going?
Well, obviously, the pandemic is, you know, greatly influencing election day administration. So there's a big controversy whether the Postal Service will be able to manage the anticipated volume of mail-in ballots. And there's lots of accusations and misinformation, really, about the security of absentee or mail-in ballots. The other, of course, is, you know, seems to be an extremely competitive, very intense election. Predictions would be right now that obviously the election outcome is going to be very close. So, you know, there's lots of variables in the, you know, that are going to unfold over the next 6 to 8 weeks.
Well, let's talk about that. You know, the elephant in the room, of course, is the mail-in balloting. That's the biggest issue, I think, going on. Do you find that that's going to be a problem? You said, you know, we can't depend on the post office, but I mean, this election will not be decided maybe for weeks after it's over.
Well, I think there's, you know, there's a couple of things with mail-in ballots. I think the rhetoric that's being, you know, that the highly charged rhetoric that's being used. You know, I think the first is, you know, there is just overwhelming research and overwhelming evidence that, you know, concerns or accusations of mail-in fraud is, you know, is just virtually non-existent. For instance, you know, there's five states that have been using mail-in balloting as their primary method of counting votes for several election cycles, you know, so prior to this year. So there really just is no, you know, there just is no evidentiary basis for those sorts of concerns. You know, where I think that there's two, I guess, possibilities, and we just don't know how this will play out. Usually, you know, most election laws, elections are primarily left to the states and counties to be administered. It really is not a national government. So if a state, and Florida is one of those states, for instance, requires that a mail-in ballot may not be counted unless it is actually received by the supervisor of elections office by election day. So in other words, by November the 3rd, it will not be counted. So that can connect then to the potential other problem, that is, if the Postal Service is up to the task and the reductions in force that have been adopted over the last few months, does that mean that, you know, there'll be, in some states, there will be some mail-in ballots that simply will not arrive in the supervisor of elections office by November the 3rd, and therefore those ballots would not be counted? We don't know what's going to happen. You know, my advice to voters is that they should make a plan now, whether they plan to vote by mail or whether they plan to vote in one of the early polling opportunities or on election day. And actually, I would strongly encourage them to, the sooner the better, to request their mail-in ballot, and as soon as they receive it, complete it and drop it in the mail and return it. Or if they plan to vote in one of the early voting locations, that they should do so early in the cycle. Usually there's like 10 to 15 days in Orange County and Seminole County that the early voting stations are open. So that would be maybe October 25th to November the 3rd, maybe October the 10th to November the 1st, something like that. So I encourage voters to to make a plan and to follow through with it early rather than procrastinate.
Well, the mail-in ballots, it's not going to work like when you mail in your taxes. You know, some people wait until the very last minute and they get it postmarked on April 15th or whatever it is, you know, 11:59 p.m. that day. It's not going to work that way. You'd already have to have it to the election supervisor way before that, right?
Correct. It must be received in the supervisor of elections office. So in other words, if you live in Orange County, it would have to be received to Bill Cowles, who's the supervisor of election for Orange County, Florida, and then similarly his counterpart in Seminole County, must be received by 7 p.m. November the 3rd, which means then that you're taking a chance if you're putting it in the mail November the 1st and expecting it to be, it's possible that it will arrive by November the 3rd, but it's highly advisable to put it in the mail immediately so that it's counted. The other thing that I would add is that also in Orange County and Seminole County, not all counties, most counties in the United States do this, but not all are able to do this. They also have, electronic tracking. So you can check your ballot online and see if it has been received. And then after it has been received, they will indicate whether it's going to be counted. So in other words, there's always some spoilage. Perhaps the ballot was filled in incorrectly or the signature didn't match or something like that. But in those events, you have time then to try to correct the problem. If you mail your ballot early. So you can mail it early and you can track the progress of your ballot as it is being processed, much like tracking a FedEx package or a UPS, not a parcel service package.
Well, the idea is just to be organized and get it done. And if you can do it in person, of course, that's the most safe way, I guess, to get that taken care of. Let's talk about the Electoral College, because I don't think a lot of people understand why we have that and how it works.
The Electoral College is really, sort of an anachronism. It's a historical device that was created by the framers, of the Second Constitution, because they really didn't trust leaving elections to the masses. At the time, only white male landowning citizens could vote. And so the Electoral College then was created. So electors, who actually would be selected by state legislatures, then cast ballots for the president. And a state's electoral vote, is equal to its congressional delegation. So a state's electoral vote is equal to the number of congressional districts plus two. In other words, there are two United States senators. Today, and really over the last couple of decades, the distortions that can result from the Electoral College, I think have become more pronounced in a period of extreme polarization. So, like one of the divisions, obviously, in the, that we see in the United States today is there's an urban-rural split. And rural states, rural areas are much more heavily Republican. Urban centers tend to vote more Democratic. So one of the things, for instance, that that can happen or that has happened is, for instance, 2016. President Trump won the Electoral College vote, but he did not win the popular majority. He had 2 or 3 million fewer votes than Hillary Clinton. If you look at Congress up until 2 years ago, the Democratic Party, if you add up all the votes cast in congressional elections for Democratic candidates and all the votes cast in congressional elections for Republican candidates, Democratic candidates receive, you know, several million more votes. But yet the Republican Party had the majority in the House because of just the geography, you know, of the votes. So, you know, those are our electoral rules and the distortions that sometimes can happen.
Well, doesn't the Electoral College, though, keep the larger urban, big city states like, you know, California and New York and Chicago from controlling the vote every year?
Well, really, conversely, the Electoral College exaggerates the political influence of states like North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming. They have more voting power than would be large states like California, New York, New Jersey, and Texas. So it's really the reverse. The Electoral College tends to exaggerate the influence of minority interests rather than the majority.
Well, I guess it's, you know, six of one, half a dozen of the other, right?
Well, voting rules have real consequences. You know, these, you know, if you look at the voting rules in other developed democracies, you know, they have different kinds of rules. And, you know, they don't have mechanisms like the, or institutions like the Electoral College, and so they don't have those kinds of biases, you know, that we have in the United States. On the other hand, their electoral rules can sometimes make it more difficult to create a governing majority than in the United States. So, you know, electoral rules aren't neutral. They all have some kind of bias that we see in the political system. You know, I think the question is it time, are the biases or the outcomes that we see from a set of election rules, are they unsatisfying? In other words, are they not properly or satisfactorily matching popular preferences with what people in government do? For instance, you know, one of the criticisms is that what contributes of the current electoral arrangements is that the party that governs isn't truly a majority party, and so they're governing, they're only representing and advancing the interests of the minority, and hence that breeds more frustration and more conflict and more polarization. So, you know, electoral rules can be changed, you know, but the Electoral College has been in existence for 200 years, and so in the American mindset, it's biblical, but there's nothing, there's nothing that prevents us from improving on the electoral, you know, on our electoral arrangements to try to make it, make a better match or improve the correspondence between popular preferences and the performance of our political institutions.
You know, it seems every election cycle recently, the polarization is becoming more and more prevalent. And do you see a point where it's, maybe we've already reached that point where it's just, you know, it's just going to be this massive divide? And where is that going to go?
Well, there's no denying that one of the features of American politics for the last 10 to 15 years has been increasing polarization. As a political scientist, do not see polarization decreasing in the near term. The factors are, I think, the variables that are driving a great deal of the polarization in the United States aren't going to go away in 2020, and I don't think that they're going to go away in 2024 either. So I think it's going to take at least another decade and perhaps just simply a political generation, you know, of simply turnover in the electorate before we see a decrease to the polarization that exists.
Do you see a point where maybe we, on either side, have someone as a candidate who appeals to both sides and is maybe more of a moderate that will slow down the polarization?
Well, the danger or the challenge here, you know, I mean, in some ways, right, some people would say that Biden is trying that kind of a strategy. But, you know, he seems to, you know, also he has to appeal to his core voters. So if the electorate is highly polarized, and you know, we're large, we're say 40 to 45% of voters are just simply core Republican Donald Trump supporters, and 40 to 45% of the electorate are core Democrat Joe Biden supporters, that really only leaves a very small sliver, you know, less than 10% of the population that would be so-called in the middle, right? Or, you know, the so-called persuadable or the swing voter. So that's the situation that we, you know, that we are in right now. At least for the people who vote, there does not seem to be a large middle. Now, this is an argument, though, I would make this argument, that why it's actually important for government to make it as easy as possible to vote. In the United States, roughly only about 60% of the eligible electorate turns out in a presidential election year. For instance, we have very, very low turnout compared to other developed democracies. So if you make it easier to vote and motivate a larger percentage of the eligible electorate to vote, then I think there is the possibility of building, if you will, that middle or that center. But as long as we're stuck in a situation where 60 to 62, 63% of the eligible electorate is going to turn out to vote, then both parties not only have an incentive, but they just necessarily have to follow an election strategy that tries to mobilize their base, or, you know, their core set of voters, and hope that they can do it. They can mobilize a few more voters in enough states than the other candidate.
Unfortunately, though, it seems like it becomes all about that and less about the issues. It becomes more about, well, let me get elected first, and then we'll do the work. But I don't know if there is an answer. And the more technology we get, the more scary it seems as far as, you know, voter security.
Well, I don't know. You know, I think that voter security, you know, and again, this sort of goes back to voter fraud. I think that that actually becomes conflated with other issues. And, so for instance, I think it becomes conflated with voter errors, with registration rules, the variety of registration rules that exist in states. And, you know, some states have much more restrictive, much more burdensome registration rules than others. Those restrictive states also have lower turnout than other states. And, you know, the Russian involvement in the election, you know, so certainly Russia tried to probably interfere with vote counting, but really their interference in the election was, or the more significant, I think, aspect of their interference in the election was actually fomenting misinformation. And, you know, we live in an environment where it's very, very easy, and there are virtually no penalties for fomenting misinformation to voters. And those are very, very real and very serious problems. I actually think that voter security is probably better than maybe what most people, than what most people fear.
Well, I think it's because, you know, everybody has had their computer hacked at some point in their life, and they think, well, if they can get me, they can get my vote. But, you know, thus the problems of the 21st century. I'm sure we will figure out a way to get around this. We always do. And that's why the country's been going on for over 250 years, right?
Right.
All right. So your advice would be to vote early, and the more information, the more correct information you can gather before you vote, the better off you'll be, right?
That's right. I mean, and I think what that means then is that there actually is, you know, there's sort of a responsibility on the part of citizens to seek out more than one source of information. With social media and, you know, the number of different sources of, you know, network and cable news stations, you know, lots of voters can be comfortable with relying on a single source of information. And, you know, so they don't have to, I don't think, you know, you don't have to exhaust oneself, of course, or become, you know, try to become some kind of an expert in all the different policy areas. There are enormous, the policy problems are in the United States are enormously complex and technical. you know, I do think that making an honest attempt to gather information from more than one source is, is a very good safeguard against, and a very good action to be taken against the dangers of misinformation.
And that's the beauty of this country. Just because you're, say, a Republican doesn't mean you just hit all Republicans across the board. I mean, you got to look at, see what's going on, because, there might be some Republicans that don't agree, you don't agree with. And there might, if you're a Democrat, there might be some Democrats that you don't agree with. And you shouldn't just vote blindly, right?
Right.
In the meantime, thank you for all the information. And thank you, Professor Don Davison, for being a guest on Sunny Across Central Florida.
You're welcome.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.